نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved, our respected mothers, one is Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha was previously married to Hazrat Khunais ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Khunais ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Sahabi, and he had taken part in the Battle of Badr, so therefore he was a Badri Sahabi, a Sahabi having very high status in the sight of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It was after the Battle of Badr that Khunais ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away. He did not pass away in the Battle of Badr. It was after the Battle of Badr that Khunais ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. Now the incident of Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha getting married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is recorded in Bukhari Sharif in Kitab al-Maghazi in the second volume. After she finished off her iddat from Khunais ibn Huzafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was concerned how he could get Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha settled again in marriage. So he first approached Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he told to Uthman radiallahu anhu, my daughter Hafsa, she finished her iddat, she's ready for marriage. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu proposed Hafsa to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu told, I'll think about it, I'll apply my mind and I'll let you know. After a few days, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, la hajata li al-yawm. Now, I'm that part of my life that I don't want to get married. So he declined that proposal. After a few days, Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and proposed Hazrat Hafsa to the marriage of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's response was very unique. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala told, I'll think about it. And after a few days, he declined the offer. Straightforward, upright. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala didn't say yes, he didn't say no. Normally, when you make a proposal to a person for marriage, you would expect the person to be upright and say yes or no. Or I will apply my mind and after some days you give the answer. In the case of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. And that puts the person who made the proposal in an uncomfortable situation, because you don't know what is going to be the response. Is it going to be a yes? Is it going to be a no? No idea. After a few days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself proposed. A representative of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed to Hazrat Hafsa to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to get married to Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Later on, after the marriage took place, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala meant Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to clarify the issue. Obviously, there would be some kind of feeling in the heart. I presented my daughter for marriage. At least Osman said no, he declined. But Abu Bakr up till today didn't say yes, didn't say no. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when you propose Hafsa in marriage to me, I didn't say yes, I didn't say no, because I don't know what to say. In those days, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about making a proposal to get married to Hafsa. That was amanat to me. That was a secret to me, and I could not divulge that secret of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have declined that offer, if Nabi sahab would have got married to Hafsa, then I had decided that I would make the proposal to get married to Hafsa. But I am happy that your daughter Umar, your daughter Hafsa, she got the best husband that a woman could ever have. So this was the marriage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it is mentioned in the books, there was a time when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had divorced Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. It was a revocable divorce. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, irji Hafsa. Take Hafsa back in your marriage. فَإِنَّهَا سَوَّامَ قَوَّامَ. She's an amazing woman. She's a woman that keeps lots and lots of roza, lots and lots of fasts. So she's got this beautiful quality of exerting herself in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Consider that and take her back in your marriage. Second, she is qawwama. She makes lots of qiyam in nafil salah. She engages herself, exerts herself in ibadah. So consider that and take her back in your marriage. وَإِنَّهَا زَوْجَتُكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And Hafsa, she's actually going to be your wife in Jannah and Paradise. It also mentioned, few incidents are mentioned in the books of hadith of how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had to actually advise Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala how to conduct herself with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a neighbor, and he had an arrangement with the neighbor that one day Umar radiallahu ta'ala would go to a majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever he would hear from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that gathering, he would pass it over to the neighbor. The following day, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would go for his business, whatever he was, his means of income, and the neighbor will go in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever the neighbor would hear from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would come and share it with Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So one day, it was during those times, there was a fear that the king of Ghassan is going to launch an attack on Medina Munawwara. So everybody was on high alert that any time the king might pounce down, any time he may attack. One day, the neighbor of Umar radiallahu ta'ala tapped hard at the door of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, an unusual tap at the door. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala from inside, because it was in his mind that the king of Ghassan is going to attack, so from inside the house he told, Ahua, Ahua, did that happen? Did the king launch an attack? The neighbor mentioned something worse than that happened. Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked, what happened? So we have heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced his wives. Umar was concerned because Hafsa is his daughter. He immediately goes to his daughter Hafsa and he asks, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorce you all? She mentioned, I don't know. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala went around the masjid area and he observed around that area the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are seated, they all are crying. This was an incident of ilah took place. where the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam were asking for extra income from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he then went and approached, spoke to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he also clarified the issue. Now in this hadith it is mentioned Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to Hazrat Hafsa and immediately reprimanded her, told to her that don't think that the other wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Aisha, she's more closer to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have that privilege and you can talk anyhow to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Gave a lot of advices and even told to her that if you have any doubt on any issue, how to deal with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you talk to me, I will advise you. We learn a very important lesson from this. Nowadays, there is an attitude. The girls feel when they are married, then they're out of the clutches of their parents, they got their freedom. The father can't say anything, the mother can't say anything. Whereas clearly it is mentioned here in the hadith, there is no such thing that once a girl is married, now she's got a freedom, she's liberated, as though she was in prison and she was under the clutch of the parents, now she can do whatever she wants to, and the parents can't give any advices to her daughters. That is incorrect. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself telling Hafsa, look at the high lofty maqam and position of Hafsa, being the Mubarak wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She has got her own intelligence. She has got her whole own status. Yet, Umar radiallahu ta'ala found it fit to even advise her how she should be dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One being the husband, second being the Rasul of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In fact, there's another incident in the books of hadith in support of this. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala once went out on safar. She lost her necklace. She went out to look for it. And they put up in such a place where there was a shortage of water, there was no water. So everybody knew that they are in this place because Hazrat Aisha lost her necklace, she is looking for it. And everybody was stranded because there was no water. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Hazrat Aisha. At that time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on the lap of Aisha. So Abu Bakr Siddiq was very concerned because of Aisha, because of the necklace of Aisha. Look at the difficulty that the people are being put through. Habasu ala ghayri ma, they stopped in a place where there's no water. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came to Hazrat Aisha. Now she is married, the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most dearest wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that time and point, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually resting on the lap of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Father Abu Bakr Siddiq came and he reprimanded Aisha, because of you, look at the difficulty that people are being put through. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq took his finger and he poked here in the side of Hazrat Aisha. Now this is a sensitive part of the body on the side. You poke anybody here, the person will jump. So Abu Bakr Siddiq came and he poked Hazrat Aisha, because of you that everybody had to be stranded here. She says, had it not been that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting on my lap, I would have jumped. So we understand from this that after a girl gets married, there is no such thing that she's free, she's liberated, the father can't tell anything, the mother can't tell anything. In fact, I think it is now more important to tell the daughter, to give advice at this time of her life. When she's by her mother and father's house, then she can do as she wants to. If she can wake up when she wants, she can cook when she wants, she don't want to cook, she can talk, whatever she wants to, mother and father will overlook, they will tolerate. But once you are married, there's new charters, there's new waters. You have greater responsibilities. You have to wake up on time, you have to cook on time, there's a life of responsibility. Yes, it pays its dividends back with the love and muhabbat that comes in a marriage, but it is also a life of great responsibilities. Anyway, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away in the 45th year after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she passed away at the age of 60. She is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Second wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another wife that we'll be discussing briefly today, Hazrat Zainab bint Khuzaima radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was given the title Ummul Masakeen, the mother of the poor people, the mother of the ones that are destitute. She was previously married to another Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Abdullah ibn Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Sahabi who took part in the Battle of Uhud, and the Battle of Uhud, he became shaheed. When she finished off her iddat, the iddat of Abdullah ibn Jahash, her husband, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a proposal for her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself sent a proposal for Zainab bint Jahash and paid a mihr, a dowry of 500 dirhams and got married to her. Taqdeer had it such, at that time when she got married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she was about 30 years of age. Taqdeer had it such that after the nikah, she lived only 3 months with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she had passed away. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself performed the Salatul Janaza and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had her buried in Jannatul Baqi. Now one outstanding quality of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, Zainab bint Jahash, there was another wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also Zainab, the cousin sister of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will be discussing about her in the coming days. But this Zainab bint Khuzaima, her outstanding quality, her title was Ummul Masakin, mother of the Masakin. She used to be very, very generous. She used to work and she used to fulfill the needs of the poor and the needy people. From this we also understand that this is a praiseworthy quality in women, to give her sadaqah and charity. And in the case of a married woman, in the books of hadith, there is a tarjumatul bab, babu sadaqatil mar'a min mali zawj. That for a woman to give sadaqah from the wealth of the husband. Now, for some women, this may be an exciting thing. For some men, it may not be as exciting. In fact, there's an incident mentioned that there's one man. He was encouraging many people to give sadaqah, give charity. And coincidentally, there were women that were listening to this program. His wife was also in that program, where the husband was encouraging to give sadaqah, give charity, give the virtue and the fasail of sadaqah and charity. When he went home, he saw that his whole entire house is almost empty. The lounge suite is out, the bedroom, the kitchen, everything is almost empty. So he asked his wife, "What is this that you are doing?" He said, "But you were giving a talk on giving sadaqah and charity. I was so inspired by your talk that I thought I should practice on it first." So he told to her, "That's for other people, it's not for you." Anyway, in the books of hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi." Every one of you are a shepherd. And every one of you is responsible for your own flock. And in the same hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, "Wal mar'atu ra'iyatun fi mali zawjiha." O kama qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a woman, she is the caretaker of the wealth of the husband. It is the wife's responsibility. She shouldn't be selfish, self-centered, only worried about her things, her cosmetics, her beauty items, her wealth, her money, her bank balance. Now her life is not her life, her life is the husband's life. She needs to look after the household things. She needs to look after the food. She needs to look after the wealth of the husband. Now she needs to sacrifice her life for the benefit of the husband. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a woman, she's a caretaker of the wealth of the husband. Now, can the woman, a wife, give sadaqah and charity from the wealth of the husband? The fuqaha have mentioned, if the husband gave express permission, he tells the wife, "You can give any amount of sadaqah or anything as sadaqah from the house." She got express permission from the husband, then she can do it. Or no express permission, but there's indication. There's dalalat, indication. The husband wouldn't mind if I give it away in sadaqah and charity. So in the hadith, there's a lot of fazail mentioned for that. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to mention that Aisha says, "Ida anfaqatil mar'atu min ta'ami baytiha غير مفسدة كان لها أجرها مما أنفقت ولزوجها أجر ما مما كسب." Oh, kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of it is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when a woman spends from the food of the house, and without being extravagant, without overdoing it, that means, firstly you have the express permission of the husband, or indicative permission of the husband, and not going beyond the norm. Whatever is normal to give out from the husband as sadaqah and charity, then the wife will get the sawab of what she spent, and because everything in the house belongs to a husband, the wife gave it out, the husband will also get the reward of sadaqah and get the reward of charity. In fact, it was the general habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Women are normally quite materialistic, more than men. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage women to give out sadaqah and charity. But on the day of Eid, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and addressed the woman and told to them, تَصَدَّقْنَا وَلَوْ مِنْ حُلِيِّكُنَّ. Give sadaqah, even if it means to give your jewelry out. Give it away in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Give it in sadaqah for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the woman to give out sadaqah and give out charity. And this is a praiseworthy quality in women as well, in men as well, but more in women. They are materialistic. So when you give out sadaqah and charity, then you detach yourself from some portion of the world, and you also earn your pleasure, you earn your akhirat through that. And normally people ask us one question: what about, you know, every street corners you get these beggars, they are there, sometimes you see one person all the time, should you be giving sadaqah, should you be giving charity? We don't know what the condition is, whether they are deserving of it or not. Everybody has their own inclinations, and everybody has their own intentions, or thinking of what they should do in that situation. I'll just share with you one incident and I will terminate with that. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahab Daman Barakatuh mentions, he traveled with his father to India. Now, many of us who have traveled to India, you know, you just have to put your hand in the pocket and you'll find a line of people in front of you. All the beggars in front of you. So Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he would give one beggar something, immediately there was a line of beggars waiting, and he would give each and every one. And this happened repeatedly. Mufti Taqi Osmani Sahab said he didn't have any courage to ask, but later on, when he has noticed this happened many, many times, so he asked his father, that, oh my father, you're giving all these beggars, how do you know that they are deserving of it or not? Many of them may not be deserving, so why are you giving them? Which, what we normally say, some of them, they can't even work, why they need to beg? So Mufti Shafi Sahab, he gave an answer according to what was his mizaj and what was his temperament and nature. He said, if you think that I am giving them while they are not deserving of it, how much deserving are we from Allah that Allah is giving us undeservedly? Allah gives us, what are we deserving of? And what if Allah has used that criteria, that person not deserving, then what would any one of us get? Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.